Hey there, folks. Dex of the Black Pants Legion here, and it's time again for Dex Talks Battle Attack. The Black Pants Legion Institute in its, classroom was, compromised. But don't you just worry yet. I called in some favors to keep the clanners busy for a while.
I stand here claiming this land and its contents in the name of Clan Smoke Jaguar. Today, this day, I swear vengeance upon the Black Pants Legion.
Shut up! I'm so sorry!
Das ist nicht das Oktoberfest, das uns versprochen wurde. Wir werden getäuscht!
Oh, ich habe ein Tor geschossen!
Ich habe es bezeugt. Das hat mir gefallen.
But hey, those Steiner scouts will help as best they're able. I did put some of your tuition money into a Delete Clanner's escrow account with the MRPC. Those fun bastards will be paid for their services. By bastards, I mean the Steiners, not the Clanners. Clanners don't even know what money is, anyhow. Have you seen how they dress? I rest my case. So anyways, if you will excuse the mess, we're going to be doing the lecture from our dropship for the time being. And I'll say this much. I have a new place lined up and we'll get there soon enough. Until that time comes, though, I suppose I owe you guys a lesson for your money. After the marathon that was our two-parter on the Ameris Civil War and the subsequent collapse of Star League, we are again returning to the meat and potatoes of our lesson plan. The hardware that makes the world go round. Stompy, murder, robots. This lesson is hopefully going to be a little shorter than the last, so my editors don't lose their damn mind. Well, more than normal, anyways. Here we go. Projector, please. That's the wrong slide. Also the wrong slide. Quality shitpost, but also the wrong slide. Oh, fuck it. I think I got one of my old lectures on tape. This time around, we're gonna talk about the blackjack.
Yay!
Shut up.
Of the Black Pants Legion here, and here we are again on Tex Talks Battletech.
So of all things, why the blackjack? Well, because this one guy in the Legion won't shut up about it, ever. I check my private messages, Professor Tex, where's the blackjack? I check my Comstar channel comments, Tex, where's the blackjack? I look at the polls, Tex, where's the blackjack? I play D&D with him, he goes, Tex, this is actually Pathfinder. In short, he's been a pain in my ass. So here's the blackjack. Buckle up, because it's time to make some people mad. The blackjack was designed by General Motors. Which means, I suppose, we need to cover that association in some historical detail. This may seem only tangentially related, but I promise to tie this all together in the end. As far as my 31st century sources allow, I can say with some confidence that General Motors has been a household name since the early 20th century. Believe it or not, the industrial behemoth that became General Motors started as a pre-spaceflight Terran corporation with a focus on ground vehicles of all things, which with their continued success soon encompassed many other products in both military and civilian markets. Some of these products were damn impressive and are still celebrated as historically important innovations in the history of ground conveyance by historians and collectors alike. Some were, unfortunately, not as celebrated. Ew. Trends in personal conveyance aside, General Motors was a successful megacorporation with a long-established history of meeting ever-changing market demands. The biggest single historical contribution this Terran Corporation ever made was way back in 2020 with the perfection of the commercially viable self-sustaining fusion reactor. By 2021, their engineering patents had been filed and reliable fusion power plants were swiftly put into serial production. General Motors has since, with their efficient industrial base and vast engineering expertise, managed to maintain profit margin and market share through periodic interstellar economic uncertainty, market fluctuations, international crises, and even managed to outlast many Terran and extrasolar governments. By the 26th century, through its tenacity, sound business practices, engineering know-how, and embracing occasional batshit ideas, General Motors was the largest producer of civilian and military vehicles in the Inner Sphere. By the latter half of the 26th century, they were the single largest defense contractor and parts supplier to the armed forces of the Federated Suns. In 2612, they designed and built the Marauder, which became an instant hit because, well, look at the goddamn thing. It was an instant classic at 75 tons of happy murder that was, in its own era, light years ahead of contemporary designs. It's a versatile weapons platform that is still in common use today in numerous makes and models because plainly it's a beautiful balance of guns, armor, mobility, and most importantly, character. In its own time, though, it was so awe-inspiring as a product that it became the absolute favorite mech of the SLDF's Elite Gunslinger program. And the graduates of that program I've covered elsewhere. So General Motors, after riding these sweet cocaine-fueled high of developing and fielding so many very useful products in civilian and military circles could seemingly do no wrong, they designed and manufactured some of the best products on the market from family sedans to murder machines. They had an enormous portion of the market share. They had healthy profits. They had some of the best engineers in the Inner Sphere and a long-established line of desirable products. This was GM's golden age, riding the coattails of Star League success and making a goddamn big bankroll in the process. But as we've established, sometimes a company makes a bad judgment call. Sometimes they make mistakes. By 2757, 4 short years after Stefan Ameris first met Richard Cameron, in the declining years of Star League, GM introduced a new product, the Blackjack. The reason I frame the product in this timeline is I need you to try to understand the world that the Blackjack was introduced to, and why a specialized mech such as it was necessary. While this time had been a golden age for Star League, it was quickly waning. These were the dark, uncertain times directly leading up to the Ameris coup, after all. Cracks were emerging in the once mighty Star League, and war would be coming far before anyone other than Ameris was expecting. With noted rising problems in the periphery, and the threat of armed insurrection a growing concern for Star League, GM saw money to be made in a mech geared toward counterinsurgency operations. After all, the Star League would greenlight any design focused toward security and policing duties, doubly so if it were a dedicated counterinsurgency platform. GM had the engineering expertise, industrial tooling, and technical aptitude to roll out designs rapidly, and a history of successfully bidding for large defense contracts. So, in record time, from prototype to finished product, that Blackjack was born. GM was gambling on making a quick buck before the market turned, for they had done so profitably for generations now. The Blackjack was supposed to be an easy payday. At its core, the Blackjack prototype in the initial production run was engineered as an optimal dedicated solution for specialized operations against people doing their best to conduct asymmetrical hit-and-fade warfare. In short, it's a weapons platform designed around the following principles. 1. Wait until the dirty protesters, hippies, rock throwers engage your forces. 2. Shoot them. 3. Keep shooting until backup arrives. 4. Claim victory. 5. Beers. And let's be honest here. This thing was designed to tread upon the freedoms in the periphery. And for its intended purpose, the initial production run was well built for the task at hand. The initial production model was armed with a pair of GM brand Flashpoint flamethrowers, because you can't resist your lawful rulers if you're on fire. The initial model also boasted a 225 VOX power plant, which at 45 tons made the design fairly nimble, all the better to chase down the bad guys. Overall, the design was easy to deploy and used common enough weapons to require very little training time and reasonable maintenance expectations. As built, the initial production model of the Blackjack was designed to deploy quickly, brutally curb-stomp the insurgents, and then leave. But sadly, it didn't quite meet the expectations of Starley. There were, problems, you see. When production started, there were, shall we say, perceived outstanding design issues. Rapid production and prototyping to snag a governmental defense contract sometimes means you have some production irregularities to iron out. They often call these teething troubles, as something built and tested in a controlled environment sometimes doesn't react so well to real-world challenges. War is an unpredictable proving ground that tends to find all sorts of issues you'd never see from the safety of a drawing board or a laboratory. Usually, a company will do its best to ensure these defects or design challenges, as they call them, are now corrected in the subsequent models. But for those in the field suffering under malfunctioning equipment, it's seldom reassuring to know the company is, quote, gonna look into it. Early production models of the Blackjack were allegedly known for being shoddily built, either to maximize profits or in a desperate attempt to get the first lot delivered on time as promised to fulfill government contracts. Identified issues at the time were described by evaluators as follows. Firstly, that its Starguard Series 2 armor was a bit on the soft side and sometimes maybe fell off on its own accord. Probably not optimal for battlefield situations where an enemy is quite intent on answering the call of you and what army. It was also alleged that maybe on occasion the Blackjack had a tendency to fall over on its own because of bad foot actuator and footpad design. Probably not an intended feature. For historical record though, I have to say these claims were completely unsubstantiated, and I use the word alleged repeatedly throughout the above because saying shoddy, defective, slipshod, and major corporation in the same sentence sounds like a real fast ticket to libel lawsuit. But as history will point out, in the corporate world, bad news travels fast. Even if the facts are murky and the claims unsubstantiated, corporate competitors, of course, made the situation worse by spreading all sorts of rumors concerning the Blackjack, whether true or not. Meanwhile, they were actively advertising their own products as something better built, or at least competently made. War is great business, as you all well know. Swiftly, the Blackjack became an embarrassment over its teething troubles, and furthermore, the now widespread rumors of its alleged bad build quality, and as such, it earned a nasty reputation for being a death trap slapped together for quick cash by a corporation milking the state for that sweet, sweet contractor money. Even if the truth wasn't so cut and dry, even if the problems were limited to the initial production run and the prototypes, and even if the problems were later fixed, it now had a stained reputation. Because mech warriors are often superstitious, and such a reputation became an ill omen. And despite, no doubt, very genuine attempts to correct its perceived deficiencies, the Blackjack served in the SLDF for only a few short years. With enough trouble on their plate and wanting to quickly sweep this problem under the rug, the Star League Defense Force gave Blackjacks away by the score to Terran hegemony militias, or as gratuitous gifts to Star League member states who promptly shelved them for the alleged shitboxes they expected them to be. Some even ended up on the black market, becoming an oddball among mercenary and pirate commands as a cast-off product now working the opposite side of its intended design focus. In the military-industrial complex, they call this full circle. Or irony, if you're in that crowd. By the time production wound down, the initial production run of the BJ-1 Blackjack was now a mech made from corporate compromise to address angry client complaints. And with a dash of design by committee from generals who had no idea what they fucking wanted. But as a result of fixes, enhancements, and aftermarket meddling, the Blackjack 1 was a different creature now, and a great deal less specialized. For starters, it was now clad with newer, better Duralex medium armor. Throughout its chassis, it used simple, cost-effective off-the-shelf components. Instead of the VOX-225 power plant, the BJ-1 used a downgraded GM-180 power plant, which was cheaper to produce, cheaper to replace, and cheaper to build. It was also an in-house product, and therefore a significant monetary savings in tooling design and production cost. Operationally, the Blackjack was now a fire support platform with some at best moderate counterinsurgency capabilities. But it was also now reliable. It was now armed with grade 2 autocannons and 4 medium lasers, but with enough ammunition and heat sinks to ensure a long-term battlefield endurance, or at least win a shootout at the local Waffle House. With proven Whitworth jump jets, the Blackjack 1 was able to reliably relocate between firing positions and then rapidly redeploy to new vantage points. This iteration of the Blackjack was the most common variant by the time of Starleague's collapse, and seems to be, at least to my estimation, a compromised design to appeal to House militias, police and security forces, and everywhere else it now served. Everything in this main production-run model was designed to be simple, reasonable, and, most importantly, cheap as possible. Still, nobody seemed to want it, and it couldn't shake the stigma of being a flawed prototype run put rapidly into production years earlier. In general terms, the BJ-1 Blackjack was pretty much what you'd expect for an Intersphere medium mech of that era. No better. No worse. Unfortunately, with its history of issues, it would be relegated to a quiet corner of history. At least for a time. When the successor states decided to have a hoedown with nuclear weapons, which we will cover when I go over the succession wars in detail, one of the many casualties was the Blackjack production line in 2796. Not many even noted this event, and it hardly made much impact in the greater scheme of things. After all, seemingly everything was blowing up these days. GM didn't seem to mourn its loss, considering it a net gain from the point of an expedient insurance claim. With the Blackjack production lines rendered into a crater, the handful that were left still holding that somewhat bad reputation for its early production alleged design defects, were by now squarely in the hands of militia units, or used as cheap equipment for people who couldn't mech where you're good. The bulk of the surviving Blackjacks ended up with the Federated Suns and the Capellan Confederation. Capellan technological challenges and logistics problems resulted in the design barely being used, with many of them no doubt ending up in scrapyards or thrown away to Capellan loyalist mercenary units in lieu of actual payment. Davion, being the noble-minded and thoughtful folks they were, decided to use them. After all, they were mostly free and mechs were becoming quickly a limited resource, with the succession wars, of course, nuking anything bigger than an anthill. It is of note that Davion technicians discovered that while the prototype series were somewhat flawed, the BJ-1 Blackjack was a very solid mech, completely undeserving of its predecessor's perceived shortcomings. Still, it would be a forgettable mech until one fateful day in 3022. Fast forward to 3022. The Third Succession War was in its 156th year. Yeah, I said that correctly. 156th year. The Inner Sphere tends not to forgive or forget easily. The Inner Sphere also has an inexhaustible capacity for making war, hating their neighbors, and, of course, a stubborn willingness to tear down civilization itself just to ruin somebody's day. Also, it probably doesn't help that the massive weapons and munition stockpiles built over the course of hundreds of years of relatively stable Starleague government were now being used to produce everyone's favorite reality TV show, War Crime O'Clock. The Third Succession War was now a low-intensity conflict that started with the classic Comstar fuckery pushing the Great Houses into a series of pointless border wars that occasionally flared into gigantic meat grinders of incalculable human suffering. By now, the Inner Sphere had transitioned to a true set of neo-feudalistic states, each still claiming the status of First Lord for various dubious reasons. By this time, war had changed. Couldn't resist. But seriously, war had now drastically changed. Warships were now all gone, save for a few private holdings and, Comstar. And others still, well, that's a subject for another time. Sustained post-Exodus losses, jump ships were now far too expensive to risk in foolhardy operations and very difficult to replace for even Great House militaries. By this point, any remaining high-technology assets were accordingly spent very carefully. It was an era of sustained, low-intensity conflict, which translates to quick brush wars, cross-border raids, and small-unit skirmishes. In 3022, there was this nut named Mercer His name is Mercer. Different Mercer. This one's not on a pedestal. This guy was a bold captain for House Kurita. Being a bold captain for House Kurita means that he has a lot of style and swagger, and as well a favored tactic, the Charge of the Horde. Because this is House Kurita, the Charge of the Horde was as dumb as you think it is. Keep in mind, this was the Succession War era, and again, large and powerful battle mechs were expensive assets that maybe couldn't be replaced. Because factories had a tendency to disappear when nukes are seen as a natural response to you and what army. This leads into the genius, or supposed genius, of Captain Mercer. So to the point, the Charge of the Horde. What is it? So the theory went like this. Huge numbers, small, crappy mechs. And just overwhelm defenders. Either you get them to run out of ammo, or you get them to overheat, or you annoy them to the point to where they just leave. If any of the above happens, you effect a victory and claim what honor and glory and land you've won. In theory, anyway. This tactic was principally designed to also grind through useless pilots to find useful ones for higher tier positions. This is how Kurita promotes people. Kill the dumb ones. Reward the cunning, or crazy. Rinse and repeat. Also, it should be noted that the hordes of cheap battle mechs were easy to replace, and made the captain look pretty good. On paper, anyway. It should also be of note that paper generals tend not to do well. It is also of historical note that Captain Mercer was a grade-A idiot. So we have a weird Kurita captain, with a dramatic flair for bonsai charges. I'm not making this up. This is what their homeworld looks like, by the way. Yeah. So now that you understand Kurita, we can tie all these little pieces together. On Josa 7 in 3022, a Davion defense militia found itself under attack by a goddamn horde of light mechs swarming them from every possible direction. The militia was outnumbered, cut off, and in full panic mode. They had little practical military experience, and were pretty much expected to run or die. But what they did have were blackjacks. They weren't professional soldiers, by and large, but Davions being Davions, they're noble to a fault. So instead of surrendering to the screaming horde of Kuritans descending upon them in a mass bonsai charge, they decided to see what this blackjack thing could do. And what they did was surprisingly effective. They formed a firing line and went full auto. They stood their ground and went DACA, culling targets, focusing fire, and engaging the enemy at maximum range. As it turns out, grade 2 autocannons have a lot of accuracy and they reach out really far. And as it turns out, the Blackjack 1 carries plenty of ammo. Amazingly enough, the Blackjack has superb battlefield endurance and plentiful fallback options for medium-range combat. And by luck and ballsy resistance, by the end of the day, the Davion militia blew Kurita off the map. The Horde was defeated soundly, and the local defenders found themselves quickly elevated to the esteem of the Davion military hierarchy. They were overnight heroes. Here, a simple Davion militia using old mechs everyone hated had stood their ground and, using basic tactics, had completely trounced the opposition with one simple trick, shooting them until they stopped moving. This defense was so highly celebrated that it essentially broke the stigma of the blackjack overnight, and as a result, it fostered a renewed interest in the design. People started to talk about the blackjack as something more than an old design to give to nobodies. It became something to give to defenders, to militias and reserve units. It became a mech that could serve in any situation where you needed enormous volumes of fire to pour out on the enemy like an army of angry flying monkeys. The blackjack became a rising star in the world of mobile warfare and enjoyed a good run of rising popularity among the great houses and mercenaries alike. After all, something that embarrassed Kirita had to be worth the price of admission. So, what makes a blackjack? I guess this is where we get to the technical crap. Fine. The prototype blackjack was a fast mover. With a Vox 225 power plant and relatively lightly armed with four medium lasers plus two flamethrowers just to burn people who showed up. People like protesters, hippies, insurgents, whatever. It was a counterinsurgency platform, a fast mover, and had a generous number of heat sinks. However, being rushed into production as stated, it acquired a nasty reputation. The Blackjack 1. What can we say about it? Well, its principal design is DACA. That's one. The bog standard Blackjack isn't fast. But it is versatile in the I'm-going-to-fill-you-with-bullets department. Dual autocannon 2s will make short work of anything smaller than a blackjack to include planes, birds, helicopters, tanks, jeeps, insurgent squirrels, technicals, taco trucks, power armor, scout mechs, and some larger dogs in the periphery. And the occasional protester. Jump Jets lets it boost its way into trouble and out of trouble relatively swiftly. With a downgraded 180 series GM engine, it was cheap to make and cheap to maintain, but also a good deal slower than the prototype. Davion couldn't wait to give their Blackjack a little something extra. After the events of 3022, the Blackjack 1DB was an interesting design change. Davion technicians removed the autocannons and torso-mounted lasers, and they replaced them with two large lasers and six extra heat sinks. Some would say the DB stands for DAB, as evidenced by what you can do with the twin large lasers. These people deserve to be pistol-whipped. Davion couldn't just leave a good thing alone. This variant was also developed in direct response to the events of 3022. The 1DC doesn't fuck with arm-mounted weapons and instead removes the jump jets to add two small lasers and an additional heatsink. Why? Well, reasons, surely. Next up, we have the Blackjack Mark II. The Blackjack Mark II was rolled out in 3052 as the new standardized production model by the Fed Sons because, well, by now they love the damn thing. New technologies were poured into the design for the first time in, well, ever. It had two ER large lasers instead of autocannons, and replaced all of the medium lasers with Streak SRM-2s. It also had double heat sinks. This one was pretty damn expensive to build over the base model, but hey, go big or go fuck yourself. The Mark III came out of the Capellan Confederation. Yes, even the Capellans started to use this damn thing. During the Fourth Succession War, the Capellans fielded this model with not only PPCs instead of autocannons, but double heat sinks. Okay, I lied. They were really used by the St. Ives Compact, which split off during the war because who wants to be a Capellan? The Blackjack IV came out of the Fedcom Civil War. It featured light ferrofibrous armor with a light fusion engine, a first for the design. Each arm was upgraded with light AC-5s and ER medium lasers. Case was put in to ensure that ammunition explosions didn't turn the damn thing into a fireworks display. It also had a targeting computer, enabling the Blackjack to not only shoot, but shoot accurately. As you can see, people have started to love the damn Blackjack after its difficult early years. House militaries began to show the medium mech some much-needed attention. But the Omni-mech was something altogether new. Oh yes, there's another Blackjack. One built on Omni-mech technology, so let's get into that. So by the late 3050s, some interesting things had happened. Firstly, an army of assholes from deep space had crashed into the inner sphere bringing new technologies. When they got their shit slapped into timeout corner at Tukiid in 3052, never forget, the Inner Sphere used the relative peace in the following years to upgun virtually everything. The great houses knew the peace wouldn't last. After all, they'd had four succession wars to figure out that nobody was going to be the new First Lord. Planar tech, however, was something new and glorious, and if they could unlock its secrets, they may, in time, stand more equal to the invaders now stalled in their attempted conquest drive to Terra. While much was lost in stopping the clan, for a time anyways, the clan invasion was a boon to the arms industry and the industrial complexes across the Inner Sphere. They had new toys. They had access to long-forgotten technology, manufacturing processes, and scientific discovery. All sorts of new ideas were flowing. The Inner Sphere even started to build warships again. And to be fair, militaries are more inclined to upgrade an old, proven system than design something altogether new. One of the mechs chosen to prototype Inner Sphere Omnimech technology acquired from the clan was the dear old Blackjack. So in 3058, the Inner Sphere built an Omnimech, which they called, originally, the Blackjack. Yeah, original, I know. The Omnimech version added 5 tons to the design, converted the standard structure to Endo steel, changed the engine out to a Nissan 200XL rated power plant, and for its size, plentiful double heat sinks. Also, the primary configuration was more or less an echo of the old Blackjack, long-range autocannons, though this time an ultra configuration, which to the uninitiated means DACA squared. Behind that is your standard I-hate-things-and-want-them-to-die backup of medium lasers. Behind that one, of course, is the old counterinsurgency special of machine guns, mini. With the Omnimech upgrades, though, the Blackjack has some wild possibilities. Namely, the ability to hot-swap things out in Omnipods. You can do whatever the hell you want with a Blackjack now. Want a dedicated fire support platform? Okay, replace the arms with LRM launchers. Want to hate people with kinetics? Gauss rifle it up. Want to shotgun all the things in a general area? LB-10X autocannons. There's PPC variants, ERPBC variants, even Clan Tech variants. Hell, they even used one as an experimental testbed for PPC capacitors, light PPCs, and whatever else they could cram in. In short, let's get into what the Blackjack is. The Blackjack is a great example of what Star League era designs were, and with Omnimech upgrades, what they can still be again. Taking something with a fixed purpose like an uncomplicated, robust counterinsurgency mech and militia defense operation Stompy Bot, and through trial and error, slowly turning it into an affordable, versatile Swiss Army knife. Also, the Blackjack serves as a warning of what happens when someone invades with a higher technology level. If you lose, you only sharpen the spears of those you intended to conquer. Anyways, class dismissed. There are donuts left in the break room if you want some. Or maybe they're not donuts. Maybe they're really sweet bagels. You know what? Hold on. Let me ask. Are these donuts or bagels, Sketch?
They're both. Somehow. I don't know. The periphery is weird.
Hey guys, I found a squallet. What the hell is a squallet? It's a wallet made out of a squirrel, or maybe squirrels.
Get off the PA system and get back to work, you fucking weirdos.
I'm lost in the walls.
I'll get him out.
It's still alive.
Alright everybody, looks like we're pulling up on our next campus location. I got a good deal on a rental space. I happen to know a guy who works there.
Engineering the bridge? Engine on fire?
Hello there, boys and ghouls. This is Dr. Spoopington here, coming at you broadcast delayed from the deep, 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 and very spoopy periphery. Tonight, we're going to put on some of the spoopiest films ever put to celluloid. And I'll tell you, they're so scary, they'll scare your pants right off. That's why mine are missing. So, I am encouraging you all to tune in tonight for our latest spoopy film. The infamous sequel to Night of the Urban Mech, Urban Mech 2. The Spookening. It has bats, screams, thrills, chills, and even a little girly toot or two. What's that knocking at the door? Is it an Urban Mech? Find out tonight. Ha 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 Oh, drat! My pizza is here. I need to find money in the couch. This gig doesn't pay well at all. Come on, Mr. Chuck. We must find coins to pay the pizza slave so that we can feast for our theater. Damn house bills and their fraction currency. I'll be there in a moment, wage slave. Calm yourself. I am Dr. Spoopington, and nothing gets between me and pizza.
Tonight on WBPL 76. Greetings, fellow adventurers. Tune in tonight to WBPL 76 for yet another episode of our ongoing celebrity tabletop series. We're playing Dungeons & Dragons 833rd edition, the best one yet. Tonight, we play a little module I wrote called The Pretty Princess's Tea Party. Little do they know, the princesses are all kobolds, and the tea is poison. I cast Fireball.
The homeless man erupts into flames, screaming, "Why did you do this?"
"Because I'm Sorcerer Duncan Fisher. I'm mysterious and dangerous." He knew what he was in for. Also, he smelled bad.
Yes, yes he did. But now he smells like smoke and agony. A short while later, perhaps investigating the hobo smoke cloud, a goodly paladin approaches from the road. He rides a white steed and wears gleaming gold armor. You sense he may have a quest for you, and that he is truly very good, and that...
I got this. I'm a sorcerer. I control the mysterious, vast energies of the cosmos. I weave the tapestry of the world into shocking displays of power. Let's see here. Do I know the spell Horse Explosion?
What? That's not a spell at all.
Okay, well, let's see here. You said a goodly paladin and his white horse, right?
Yes. As he approaches, he hails you. "Noble traveler," he begins, and unfurls a missive he's been carrying for some time.
Boring. I cast Fireball.
His horse explodes.
Ha! I love this fucking game.
So, tune in tonight as murder hobo Duncan Fisher goes town to town using his master of magic to kill the hell out of every living thing he comes across. It promises to be very exciting indeed.
I cast Fireball!
Hey, Discount Dan here, straight from the periphery into your stupid face, and have I got a deal for you? Do you have a problem? A problem that can only be solved with murder? Well, come on down to Discount Dan's gently used mech emporium and Fine Mercenary Insurance, LLC, Limited, a joint stockholding company owned by my own fucking business. We have the wildest array of gently used, refurbished, secondhand mechs, and I want to pass these crazy savings on to you. We got big mechs, small mechs, light mechs, heavy mechs, clan mechs even, mostly, somewhat, maybe. Look, you put enough parts on a catapult, there's a fucking mad cat. You don't know. You don't know because you're a trusting guy, and here I am, Mr. Trust Tester. I'm going to test that trust as I fuck your wallet open with my greedy hands. And I want to tell you now, all of my fucking mechs are 100% guaranteed to be ghost-free. That's right, I go through every mech with my patented ghost stick and beat the shit out of the ghost and any old mech pilots that might be haunting that mech. Because maybe we scooped out the bodies and dumped them into that dumpster behind the Shonies. Who gives a shit? It's a great fucking deal. Free ghost stick and ghost collection bag with every mech. I'll even throw in a free handful of chicken nugget. Not nuggets, nugget. Yeah, take a look at that, you piece of shit. It's one big-ass nugget. Why? Because I care, that's why. Speaking of, chances are you're a bad person and probably run a high-risk lifestyle, aka you shoot people for money. Well, guess what? I'm gonna throw in some of my fine-ass mercenary insurance for you. Guess what it covers? Practically everything. Stomp some babies, covered. Kick some blind dude into orbit because you can't pilot for shit, you're covered. Got a piece out of your mech in the yeet seat, leaving it to fall over on an orphanage? Covered. Fuck those kids. They weren't gonna grow up to be nothing anyways. Destroying an art museum because you forgot it's an LBX autocannon? Boom. Covered. Fuck that Van Gogh. Who gives a shit? He had one ear. One ear! Who has one ear? Do you even wear sunglasses? How do magnets work? I'm asking the real questions because I'm Discount fucking Dan. Come buy some mechs. I promise they won't blow up, honest. Now give me your money, you son of a bitch.
Mercenary Insurance is not liable for practically anything you do. Nugget TM, Yeet Seed, and Cocaine are registered trademarks of Discount Dan. Discount Dan is not a role model or spokesperson for MRBC. By listening to this message, you are agreeing not to press charges against Discount Dan. Discount Dan is not a real person. Discount Dan is your god. Worship Discount Dan.
And here we are at the end. Firstly, Red, you're welcome. Where's my goddamn maple syrup? Secondly, editors, thank you for not going insane yet. Thirdly, thank you, Sarno, for being a great damn wiki. Competently written and not about stupid crap nobody cares about. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Fourth, special thanks to Tuck Davion for forcing me to go on vacation, then starting a fund to make me do it, and then convincing me to actually take the money. I tried to argue with him, but he was very persuasive, and the argument came from the heart. So thank you, sir. Fifth, thanks to Spacer, Mike G, and all the other wonderful Battletech artists who just said, "Let me help," and did so, and then outdid themselves. We have so many people who come forward and give all they can, really, for the sheer love of Battletech. So, thank you. Thank you all very much. Sixth, thank you, Richard, for sending me German whiskey. I tried to say no, but then you insisted in your German way. That is to say, I thought you were going to invade. So I took the whiskey. Also, wrapping the whiskey in Battletech unit sheets is a total Chad move. Well done. And last but not least, special thanks to all the glorious bastards who have given me increased access to Battletech sourcebooks, art, and history than I could ever have managed on my own. You keep sending me stuff to work with, meaning now I gotta cover everything. Speaking of covering everything, Goat's now going to entertain you people with some fine periphery music. If you want to find his shit, check below in the description. Pay him money to write weird music for you because he'll actually do it. I can't believe he writes half the shit he does and gets away with it. Anyways, till next time.
Oh, far away from the light of terror, the remnants of another era. Join the crew, grab a brew, it's a damn periphery. We're full of pirates, cultists, rednecks, and opus girls look great in latex. Join the crew, grab a brew, it's a damn periphery. We're stuck in the periphery, oh no, oh yeah. Ain't too much tech to be found here, at least it's not the inner sphere. Far away, out in the deep periphery. Far away, our way, out in the deep periphery. There's Randus knights and bandit countries, Viking duelists, murder junkies. Houses out, noble suck, get out of periphery. Just bring your armies, bring your treasure. We'll drain it all at our own leisure. Right away, far away, in the deep periphery. You're stuck in the periphery. Oh no, oh no. You lost everything you held dear. At least you're out the inner sphere. Far away, far away, out in the deep periphery. Far away, far away, out in the deep periphery. Solo. You're stuck in the periphery. Oh no, oh no. Lost everything you held dear. At least you're out the inner sphere. Far away, far away, out in the deep periphery. Far away, far away, out in the deep periphery. Yeah. Now get the fuck out.
Do I know the spell Horse Explosion?